ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नाम श्रेष्ठं मनमपि शचीपुत्रमत्रस्वरूपं रूपं तस्याग्रजमुरुपुरीं माथुरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवाशं प्राप्तो यस्य प्रथितकृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतः परकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्विताश्च। हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Continuing the topic of disciples not following vows, there are many side topics which it could lead into. For instance, how spiritual leaders, temple leaders, are to keep all devotees at all level, keep them enthusiastic and engaged without bringing the standard down. We don't want to discourage those who want to come forward and do some service, but we don't want to say that it's okay, do whatever you like. It's okay, just as long as you do some service. Some years ago in London, there was a devotee. What happened? He had a romantic liaison with someone else's wife. She later divorced and married him. It's not uncommon in the Western world. And I saw he was, shortly after this, he was in the temple doing service. And I asked the temple president, that, why are you giving him responsibility and service? The town president said, we just want to encourage whoever comes forward to do service. We don't have that. He's very capable devotee. We don't have so many like that. So on the one hand, we want everyone to serve Krishna. The movement needs help to be pushed forward in so many ways. But on the other hand, it's almost like endorsing his wrong activity. There are many issues which arise. For instance, grihasthas may say, well, I want to follow, but by circumstances, I can't. For instance, because of my job, I have to travel. I may have to travel for out of home for many days. And there's a hectic work schedule. I don't have time to arrange meals or any such thing. So what do? I just have to go in a restaurant and take some food. And in some of the countries I go, there are no vegetarian restaurants. You must have been in that situation when you were traveling around the world. What did you do? You don't want to say. All right. It's hard to live on fruit for days on end. So, or you may have to visit non-devotee relatives who insist that you take some of the food that they cook, which, strictly speaking, you shouldn't be doing. Then another whole question could come up, well, what's meant by initiation anyway? In one letter, I believe it was, Srila Prabhupada says that by reading my books, people are initiated. But then what's the meaning of the initiation ceremony? There's a vow taken. In one letter, Srila Prabhupada said there is a difference between being initiated and not being initiated. Being initiated means they're authorized. Otherwise, not. It means being accepted as a disciple, at least provisionally, because in one lecture in Calcutta, Srila Prabhupada said that I give these American boys and girls beads and Harinam, and then after some time, if I see they're following nicely, I give them Diksha, referring to what we call Brahminical initiation. Srila Prabhupada saying that, I mentioned that he said it in Calcutta because in the Gauriya Math branches and sub-branches, which is prominent in Bengal, of which Calcutta is the capital, they have what they call Harinam, giving people beads, which they do very liberally, which also causes misunderstandings within ISKCON, because they often go and to ISKCON congregations or people who are coming to ISKCON, give them beads, and then the people say, oh, now I'm initiated, which they are in one sense. Srila Prabhupada sometimes called that Harinam initiation. But then when they give Diksha, and Prabhupada said, then I give them Diksha, then they are my disciple, Prabhupada said. And that was the point. Then they are considered my disciple. Then in another letter, Srila Prabhupada said that the disciple is accepted at first initiation. And that was definitely given more... that was always considered within ISKCON, that one is initiated, one is under the shelter of the guru. So at least provisionally you're accepted. Acceptance comes... Ye yata mang prapadyante tangs tataiva bhajami aham. If one takes initiation but doesn't take it very seriously, we can't expect the guru to also be to reciprocate in the same way. Another letter, Srila Prabhupada said that I see all my disciples equally, but if someone comes forward for service, naturally I reciprocate with that. So it's at least conventionally or formally one is initiated. It means being accepted in the sampradaya. Means being connected to the sampradaya, which suggests that if you don't, you're initiated because you promise to follow these things, and if you don't follow, then where's the connection? It can be understood that the connection is weakened, if not broken. Or maybe you could say that there are different levels of connection, and how well do we connect? Or, as Srila Prabhupada said, that when he was asked about disciples who don't follow, and Prabhupada said, then they're not even human beings. They're animals. Because Srila Prabhupada gave the reasoning that a human being can make a promise. An animal cannot. So if one makes a promise and doesn't follow it, that's equivalent to being an animal. Sometimes you say they're not even devotees, they're not even gentlemen. Yet Srila Prabhupada himself could be very liberal. In the early days, I mentioned about that in San Francisco. He's very liberal in giving initiation. Tejas Prabhu, who you may remember, stayed here for some time in Salem. He told me that once when he was temple president in Delhi, some woman came with some beads who he had never seen before and came up to Srila Prabhupada and said, "Can I be initiated?" And Prabhupada asked Tejas Prabhu, "Who is this?" I said, I never saw her before. So Prabhupada said, "Give me the beads." He chanted on them and said, "This is your name." And Tejas said he never saw her ever again. And Prabhupada said that, he said to Tejas, "You don't know what preaching means." Well, generally, Srila Prabhupada's policy wasn't to initiate anyone on the spot. Srila Prabhupada once said that first initiation is a chance. We're giving them a chance. And he said that, of course, he wrote this in a letter, he said, "Of course I give initiation very easily, but what can I do? I'm prepared to go to hell for Lord Chaitanya." That was his mercy, that he was prepared to give initiation, but practically he knew that not everyone was going to follow. But he took that risk. We could say to encourage those who are taking initiation, or with the hope that they would take it seriously. If you don't vow to chant 16 rounds, then you may not feel like it and you don't do it. But if you vow and then you make a promise, then even if you don't feel like it, you feel obliged to do it. So the vows can help. That can be considered from that point of view, that it can help to people because they feel an obligation to do so. Srila Prabhupada, he was very liberal, but later he wanted to tighten up on the standard in screening the candidates. At one point he wrote a letter that the responsibility for it goes to the temple presidents who recommend them if they fall down. It is understood that the guru, he's supposed to take responsibility, but Srila Prabhupada, at one point he wrote and said, it's the responsibility of the temple presidents. They're recommending so many unqualified people. We may say, well, why not have a 5-year waiting period for initiation? And within ISKCON we see that some gurus are very strict and they wait such a long time. Of course, there's just to see, because if you consider that so many after initiation, within 5 years of initiation, they fall away, then why not wait till later? But of course, people also fall away after 5 years. Another saying of Srila Prabhupada, this was in relationship to when he was, I heard this from Prabhu Vishnu Swami at the time, although I haven't had it confirmed, that when Srila Prabhupada was asked that, why do you give sannyas to young men? Srila Prabhupada said, when the sabji is ripe, then you cook it. If you wait too long, then it gets past the time. So he saw young men with enthusiasm and he empowered them that now you take that enthusiasm and you go and you preach. You could have a 5-year waiting period, but what would probably happen in many cases is that people they didn't want to wait and they'd go off and take initiation somewhere else. And also, according to Shastra, there should be a 1-year waiting period. Of course, it's up to the guru. The guru doesn't have to give initiation at all if he doesn't want to. So So, yeah, basically, four principles in 16 rounds, that's supposed to be the connection. So if one doesn't follow, then it really has little meaning. Now, if we take the premise that, take as a premise that most people who have been initiated in ISKCON and who are still connected with ISKCON, most of them aren't following very strictly. They may not be chanting 16 rounds daily. They may not be strictly following the four regulative principles. Does that mean that most of the members of ISKCON are not actually connected to the disciplic succession? Or they're not properly in it? If they don't follow their vows? That sounds maybe a little extreme. Isn't everyone connected who comes in? We could, someone may say that if they're going to the temple for the last 5 years, they go every Sunday, but they're not initiated. If they may say to a friend, well, I'm connected to the Hare Krishna temple. They're connected in the sense they have some relationship. So if we're connected, then why take the risk of giving 60 rounds plus four principles initiation? Why take the risk? Maybe we should wait 10 years or 20 years. From what I see, many are eager to get initiated because they feel that now you're really part of the, you're accepted. You're not just a bhakta so-and-so. You've got a real Sanskrit name. You're in. It's a promotion. I've told this several times. I used to visit Yangon, Rangoon in Burma regularly. And one time I went there, and the people I knew, I used to stay with some Marwari people. And so I said, oh, Ilapati Prabhu. And I told him, actually, my name has changed now. I took sannyas. And he turned to his friend and said, promotion ho gaya. So that's the idea, that it's a promotion. You're not one of those who are just around and about, but now you're in. So that also, that psychological effect can also, it's not necessarily a bad thing. That if people feel connected, then they feel more confident and positive to serve and to follow. But if we consider that so many devotees seem to struggle with, particularly with one regulation, then why don't we just make it 16 plus 3? Let's be honest about it. Why impose a standard that people are not going to keep anyway? Why deny them connection to the disciplic succession? And say, we say, well, they're connected because they're initiated. But you're not connected because you... If someone may be honest and say, look, I'm really having trouble following this principle, you may say, well, initiate them anyway, and then you can get connected. Why should he not be connected when so many people who took initiation are not following? Then it becomes something like a choose for yourself, make the standard yourself. If you want to follow, you can follow. If you don't want to follow, you don't want to follow. Well, Srila Prabhupada said that everyone is welcome to come to the temple and join in the kirtans and take prasadam and do service, but if one wants to be initiated, then he has to be serious. He may say, well, I'm serious, but having a hard time to follow. Why set up people to fail? We're aspiring for something, it seems, which is very difficult to follow. Krishna himself says, out of thousands of men, one surrenders to me. So we should have that faith that it's possible by divine grace, by Krishna's mercy. But realistically speaking, Krishna's mercy goes beyond our notions of realism, but it may be that everyone who takes to Krishna consciousness or gets initiated doesn't make it all the way back to Godhead in this lifetime. In this Kali Yuga especially, it's so hard, it's so difficult to be free of the bad thoughts which can lead to bad activities. It's the whole civilization we live in is so contaminating. It would just be easier for everyone if we just said, okay, all right, be initiated, but take it at your own level. And again, of course, Srila Prabhupada spoke about selling diamonds. Instead of selling diamonds, if we sell glass bangles, we may get more customers. Or you may be thinking, well, maybe I shouldn't have been initiated. Or, now I'm initiated, what do I do? Maybe I could go and talk to the guru and like some kind of negotiation. It's just like someone who has a big debt to pay and they can't pay it back. And they negotiate, well, maybe I can pay this much, and over a period of time, you know, I can't give all that I promised, but I'll do my best, and we work something out like that. So let's make a compromise. We'll create a new standard and this and that. That would be good, wouldn't it? Then people wouldn't feel so guilty and they wouldn't feel like they're failures and they're completely useless. And they get the blessing of the guru, and they wouldn't have this guilt complex. Of course, guilt complex can be good. Guilt complex, that's out of psychology, isn't it? You shouldn't have any guilt complex. Do whatever you feel like, and don't worry what others think. But that guilt complex, the conscience. Yeah, so let's water everything down. Oh, Prabhupada said to boil the milk, not to put water in the milk. It's something like in America, the educational system at the higher levels, it's all privatized, as it mostly is in India. It's a business, to put it frankly. It's a business. So the colleges want people to pass. It doesn't look good for them if the people don't pass. So they have to, I've heard this, that the professors are told, the professors also, what's called professors, they can hardly spell their own name, many of them. But they're told, you have to pass everyone. They're not up to the standard, but you have to pass everyone. Otherwise, who's going to come to our college for education if so many people fail? People want a certificate. They want to get out of the college with a certificate that I passed, not with a failure. See, I paid so much money for my child's education, so you got to give him a certificate when he comes out. That's the idea. It's a business. So, what's going on is that the educational institution, their certificates won't be respected by employers. And the people won't actually have a proper education. So someone may have a certificate saying he's qualified as an engineer, but you might not want that kind of engineer building the bridge that you're going to drive over. So you can say that this person is initiated. See, I mean, people like the it quite often happens here in South India, and someone's coming to ISKCON and they visit some Sri Vaishnava holy place, and the GR is there and gives them initiation on the spot, and no questions asked and no demands made. And they feel, great, I'm initiated. But do you get the same result as one in which you commit to follow principles, to chant rounds? It may have the same name, initiation, but does it have the same result? We have to see. We may say that if we want to lower the standard, or everyone should have a chance, everyone should be included. Yeah, everyone has a chance, but there are some conditions also. Gay and Lesbian Vaishnava Association. I guess they should change the name to Gay Lesbian, Bisexual, Transgender and Queer Vaishnava Association. Now, what is it? LGBTQ. Yeah. So why don't we have the Butchers Vaishnava Association? What about the Pedophiles Vaishnava Association? Why not? You see, people, they say, well, you see, they're born with a certain sexual orientation, so we shouldn't discriminate against them. Well, the fact is, although you may try to rewrite the scriptures or reinterpret it another way, there is no place for gays, lesbians, bisexuals, transsexuals, or queers in the spiritual world. Sorry. It's not me, it's Krishna. If you have any complaint, go and complain to him. You can chant Hare Krishna, but if you're going to go back to Godhead, you have to. And for that matter, there's no place for illicit heterosexual activity either. So why are there rules and regulations? Well, that's required to become purified. Otherwise, what's the meaning of initiation? We can't change this. Even if we say that it's so difficult for people to follow, but at the same time we can't change the standard. Just like it would be disastrous to change the standard for a qualified engineer, if you're going to build bridges, you have to know what you're doing. There has to be a certain qualification, otherwise it'll be a disaster. You can't expect the same result from following the standards and not following the standards. Here's a quote from the Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll just give the English translation. Until one revives one's direct knowledge of the spirit soul and drives away the illusory identification with the material body and mind caused by the three modes of nature, one must cultivate those things in the mode of goodness. By increasing the mode of goodness, one automatically can understand and practice religious principles, and by such practice, one automatically can understand and by such practice, transcendental knowledge is awakened. So that one has to associate with the mode of goodness, as long as one is not completely purified. So engaging in sinful activities, that means to go down to the mode of ignorance. It takes us a long way away from Krishna consciousness. So we should encourage those who are struggling to take advantage of the process. This process is very powerful and very purifying, the process of Krishna consciousness. take it gradually. Shanai shanayeru paramed. Step by step. Don't try to go too high, too fast. And we should perform bhakti under the guidance of experienced devotees. And don't stop emphasizing the need to follow these principles, as Srila Prabhupada did. He never stopped emphasizing the need to follow these principles. It may be one reason that people fall away is that we're not preaching enough about how it is necessary to follow. Not just the four rules, but the necessity of practicing Krishna consciousness with intensity. That we should, whether we're living close to a temple or not, we should arrange our life in such a way that we can rise early and chant in the morning and have devotee association. It's not, Krishna consciousness is not going to work on a low key. It requires intensity. Tivrena bhakti yogena. And yeah, we need to be, we need to practice under the guidance of competent devotees. We should be under the guidance of a guru who tells us what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. And we should be prepared to accept that. Not following the vows, taking the vows and not following them means that the guru becomes implicated. If he accepts, especially if he accepts someone out of some mundane motive, I'll get money from this person, or I'll get some prestige by increasing the number of my disciples. And the guru has to share the reactions of the sinful activities of the disciple. And this, if one has many disciples who go away, that may even, if he takes many who are not very serious, then their association and their consciousness can affect the guru also, unless the guru is situated on the very highest platform. If he's on the very highest platform, he'll follow the shastric directions and not initiate lots of people who are not be eager to initiate people for the sake of prestige and following and all this. He's beyond that. He initiates people for their benefit. He doesn't gain anything himself. So as I was saying, this is really, it is a major problem. It will go on because this world is like that. We're living in the world of Maya. And whoever tries to come away from Maya and surrender to Krishna, then Maya goes into top gear, trying to prakshepatmika vritti, kick you back. When you're not, everyone is covered. Yaya samo hita jiva atmanam trigunatmakam. The Maya covers everyone with her three modes of nature, the avaranatmika vritti. And one who comes out, trying to come out, then she has to kick them back, throw them back. But then Krishna is stronger than Maya, so daivihi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya. Mameva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. Krishna is stronger than Maya. So we have to take shelter of Krishna very strongly. Then we'll be safe, and we have to preach about this. And how preaching is not just to everyone outside, but among our own group also. We have to help each other to come up. Hare Krishna. So that's my series of talks on that topic. Finished. And if anyone would like to raise any question or make any comment, place to yourself.
Hare Krishna.
Vimanji, there is ISKCON disciple course which has been introduced by the GBC. So how do you think that's helping to solve this problem?
ISKCON disciple course. What is the relevance of this? To tell you the truth, I'm not very familiar with what's taught there. Is anyone here familiar with that? I guess those who are recently initiated must be familiar. I guess I should find out what's there, but so far I haven't. Does anyone know what they teach there? Yeah, tell us then in the mic.
Yeah, you have the basic understanding of who is a spiritual master, who is a disciple, and the codex of...
General teaching which they should have got prior to, or they should have before they take initiation, which hopefully should be given anyway, if they're coming regularly and associated with devotees. So it's just making sure they get the basic teachings. Is it about the nature of guru, the nature of disciple?
Yes, and one thing that is that an addition that we have seen in the course is that parallel lines of authority, guru.
Parallel lines of authority.
That's one thing is being introduced in that.
What's that between the guru and ISKCON authorities?
Yes, so whom you should hear from.
Who you should hear from and follow. But in most places, as far as I can see, that doesn't have any effect because people tend to follow their gurus more than the temple authorities. It may be in some places. It's not like that. Because that's actually, we see in Shastra and tradition that one is to follow one's guru, not anyone else. The idea of having a... Well, it's not that one shouldn't follow anyone else, but it's something new in history, having a multi-guru society, and formally organized like that. There are some things also, just like the guru is supposed to be one's permanent link, but the temple authority may change. The temple authority may change, or one may change one's place of residence. So it's in that sense, it's hard to take them as seriously like that. And there may be differences also, just like the guru may not be very happy with some of the programs that the temple is doing. Just like I wouldn't be very happy with a temple where they have yoga classes in front of the deities. Yoga here, I mean, bhakti yoga, fine, but this stretching and pulling, not that. So if someone's accepting a guru, hopefully it's because they've heard the guru and they find that the message of the guru resonates with that of the parampara. And so they may find that, I want to follow, they have more faith in their guru than in the program given by the local town president who says, we have to do this. This is what Prabhupada wants. Prabhupada came from the spiritual world to teach. He didn't say it because we weren't ready for it at the time, but now we've realized that what Prabhupada really wanted us to do was to teach yoga exercises in front of the deities. So it might be hard. Well, I don't think anyone says like that exactly, but you may also not want to accept a guru who makes sarcastic comments about ISKCON authorities. Yeah. Then you were going to make a...
Guru Maharaj, I have noticed one senior devotee regularly going to Hanuman temple. It's been going on for a long time, and then I was not sure. He was applying tilak and was just confused what should we advise him or
Senior devotee regularly going to a Hanuman temple. Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, when you'll find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when he was going past the Hanuman temple, he went to the Hanuman temple, went to the Durga temple, went to the Shiva temple, went to the Murugan temple. Regularly, if someone is doing, initiated devotee, you have to find out why. If you really want to, if you think it's your duty to get involved. If he's going for some material benefit, that's not very good. Otherwise, if he feels some attraction to Hanuman as the servant of Lord Ram, then that's very good. But that's not really on the topic of the class, is it? We don't take a vow, I promise to follow 16 rounds, 4 eggs, and never to go to a Hanuman temple. So it's off the topic.
Nowadays we see all over the world that people take credit loans, which is widely...
Credit loans, it's almost like gambling, isn't it?
So does it come...
Take a loan. Take money on credit or take a loan?
Does it come under the category of gambling?
How does it come under the category of gambling?
Does taking credit loans...
Why should it be under the category of gambling? Why should taking a loan be on the... It's a risk, could say. But the banks or whoever's giving the loan, they calculate the risk. And they're confident, or fairly confident, that you're going to be able to pay it back based on your... salary or and your job and all this. So I mean, every decision in that case is a risk, but it's not necessarily gambling. Gambling, that's in logic, that's a wrong premise. That everything involves a risk. Gambling involves a risk. Therefore, everything is gambling. That doesn't follow logically. Same time, I don't recommend taking loans because often it becomes a great burden on your whole life. It's also not recommended in Shastra, at least Chanakya. Okay, Hare Krishna, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Mancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu evacha patitanam pavanebhi. Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Hare Krishna.